Hi, my name is Harold Horgan, CEO of the York Group. For more than 20 years, we have been working with ISVs to help them develop and implement their business strategies. One of the biggest challenges facing ISVs today is adapting their business model to cloud-based technologies being sold on a subscription basis. We have worked with thousands of ISVs worldwide, giving us a unique insight into the issues you have to deal with. Microsoft has asked me to share our experiences through this series of webinars. There are a total of 11 modules covering almost every aspect of the cloud business model, and combined, they are intended to give the guidance you need to be successful in the cloud. In this webinar, I will be covering an extremely important aspect of the cloud business model: how to build a scalable customer support program that will allow you to grow a large base of satisfied clients. Customer support should be important for every software vendor, but it is even more critical for subscription-based solutions than it is for perpetual licenses. Supporting SaaS solutions is different for a couple of reasons. One is changing customer behavior, and the other is the deferred revenue model. This will lead to discussion on the most effective self-service support platforms, which will drive down your costs while meeting an increased need for self-service by SaaS customers. Finally, we will look at the support programs that involve human interaction, which by and large are the same for SaaS as they are for other solutions. Yes, client support is always important, but even more so for subscription-based services. It is easier for clients to vote with their feet, dropping your solution if they are dissatisfied. The move to subscription-based services has dramatically changed the perspective on customer support. Traditionally, it has been seen as a cost center, something to be managed and reduced in order to preserve or improve margins. But with SaaS, it is seen as an important part of the client retention strategy, thereby increasing the CLV, or client lifetime value. This is the total revenue that you collect from a client during the entire length of the subscription, so the longer they stay, the better it is for you. Based on the metrics that are used by many venture capital investors, if a client leaves in less than 3 years, there is a high likelihood that a vendor will lose money on that customer because there won't be enough time to recover the customer acquisition costs, provisioning costs, and client support costs. In the SaaS world, keeping a customer can become at least as important as selling to a new customer. Churn is the percentage of your clients who leave. It can be defined in different ways, which I discuss in the webinar on metrics for SaaS companies, but it is essentially the inverse of your renewal rate. If your renewal rate is 95%, then your churn rate is 5%. A study done by the Customer Success Association, a trade group specializing in customer support and retention, indicated that the top four reasons clients leave are the following. First, they just don't see the value of the solution, at least not enough to justify continuing to pay for it. They're not happy with the vendor. This is something that I have experienced many times, signing up for a great-looking technology, but not getting enough support from the vendor during the onboarding to actually make it work. And there are a lot of clients who sign up, but never get around to using it, or using enough of it to make it worthwhile. It's not that the product doesn't have enough functionality, it's that they don't use it. The fourth most common reason for terminating a subscription is financial. The client's business isn't doing well, and they get rid of all non-essential spending. Good client support is really the only way to combat the first three reasons. Good customer support during the sales and deployment cycles will show the prospect the value of the solution. Good communications and support during and after the sale will keep them happy. And ongoing customer support will help them find new and useful ways to benefit from the technology. So the focus of customer support really is about maximizing the lifetime value of a client relationship. Since most churn takes place during the first few months of a subscription, getting new clients over the hump makes it much more likely that they will stay with you. Customers have been with you for a while, will get to refresh cycle, and even if your solution has been doing what it promised, they could be tempted to look at other options. Since you've already absorbed the client acquisition costs, extending a relationship from 3 years to 5 years or 10 years generates pure margin for you. And the other way to increase the lifetime value is to sell them more stuff, to get each client to spend more money with you. This could be done by adding more users, by expanding from one department to another, each user requiring more resources such as storage or bandwidth, adding more modules from your core product, or cross-selling other services or solutions. This is very common with ERP companies that will try to cross-sell their CRM solution. But customer service costs you money. Each touch with a client, especially when it involves human interaction, incurs a cost with no offsetting increase in revenues. So one of the objectives of a good support program is to do it as much as possible upfront to reduce the need for customer support later. There are a number of ways of doing this. One is to provide a broad library of documentation to help with the deployment and specific functionality. Not everyone likes to read, so it is strongly recommended that you build out a library of video tutorials that cover the key issues that someone is likely to run into. Keep them as short as possible. Bite-sized pieces of 3 to 5 minutes are preferred and more effective than a single long tutorial that runs 30 or 60 minutes. You will see that the underlying theme throughout this webinar is to reduce the level of human interaction to a bare minimum. Have an automated trouble ticket tracking system is one way to do this. It allows a customer to see the status of their issue without having to call or email. Having a trouble ticket tracking system is also a great way to start populating an FAQ or a knowledge base. If you can, embed support features into the app itself. This could be contextual support, or it could be links to tutorials, documentation, or to a live chat function. I mentioned in my introduction that support for SaaS solutions can be quite different from what you would have for on-premise. The basic objectives are the same: fix problems and increase customer satisfaction, but the client expectations and your delivery platforms can be very different. For one thing, as in so many other ways, you are penalized by the financial model. You will be collecting your revenues over time, but you absorb the customer acquisition and onboarding costs up front. The more you spend resolving problems during onboarding, the longer it will take before you reach your break-even point from the monthly payments. Speed is essential with SaaS. Customers today expect issues to be resolved quickly. One of the business requirements driving SaaS adoption is mobility. If you are catering to this market, your support platforms need to be available on mobile devices as well. And one very significant change is that support moved from internal IT to you, the vendor. With an on-premise solution, the users within a company would call IT. Now they will be contacting you instead. This means that you will be dealing with less savvy tech users. All of those questions that the internal IT person could answer will come back to you. And many of them will be questions about functionality. How do I print a document? How do I change a field from green to blue? As a result, you will want to provide support that is less technical and more user-friendly. In many ways, you will need to dumb down your technical support. As we have underlined repeatedly, the change in your cash flow model makes every expense you incur more visible and more painful. To the extent possible, you should try to eliminate the need for support before it even becomes an issue. I'm going to come back to this from a slightly different perspective later, but here are some initial thoughts. A lot of issues come up during the deployment, especially in the enterprise market. With on-premise software, you or your partner would be quite happy to send a team of people on-site and build for the implementation. SaaS clients, even in the corporate market, are increasingly looking for quick, inexpensive deployments. We have seen across a wide range of technologies and verticals that the SaaS solutions that are doing well almost always offer a standardized remote deployment package with fees ranging from a few hundred dollars to a few thousand dollars. Developers need to understand how the new breed of clients think and use technology. Rotate your developers through a few shifts in customer support to answer questions. Chances are they will find ways to modify the product to help eliminate those issues. Usability labs can be a great way to test out your installation process during your product development. And if you can, you should consider building proactive notification into the technology, a system that automatically alerts users to known issues that can impact performance. It is all about communications and heading your clients off at the pass before they feel the need to pick up the phone and call you. Another tool that can really help you is analytics, and this is one of the major benefits you get from having a SaaS-based version of your technology. When you sell your on-premise solution to a customer, your knowledge of how the product is being used pretty much stops at the door. They may have purchased a 500-user license, but you have no way of really knowing how many people are using it, what features and functions are the most popular, or the problems that people run into that discourage them from using your solution. This all changes when you move to SaaS. If you have an analytics engine built in, you will be able to track which features and functions are being used. You might find that 80% of your customers are using a function that you thought was unimportant. How much are they consuming, and what are the consumption patterns? If the analytics engine is able to collect information on workflows, you can start to identify issues that impact productivity. And you'll be able to measure response times. In a client-server environment, customers are used to immediate response times. In the cloud, latency can be an issue, especially for real-time applications, and latency can be a real source of frustration. Tracking response times could trigger a decision to set up your application in a second data center so that you are closer to your clients. This would reduce a lot of support calls for something that you have no control over. And finally, the analytics engine should be integrated with your back-end support automation to make the customer case management and trouble ticket processing more efficient. Customer support programs can come in different shapes and sizes depending on the price and complexity of the solution. So let's take a look at some of the variables. One of the biggest variables is your availability, something that will usually be documented in your service level agreement, or SLA. In the SaaS world, there is an expectation that support will be 24/7, whether this is through an automated platform, live chat, or telephone. Support programs are often tiered with bronze, silver, and gold programs. Pricing can be handled in different ways. Sometimes they are baked into the pricing model, so if subscriptions have pricing tiers, support packages would be included in the respective tiers. For others, case support packages are sold independently of the subscription. There is a base support package that is offered regardless of the price of the subscription, and advanced support packages are sold separately. Another variable is the level of automation you use. High-volume, low-price subscriptions have to have automated self-service support programs, while complex solutions will require more handholding. You will need to find the balance that is right for you, and in the next section, I will go into more detail on the options that are available. We will start with self-service support. Building out self-service platforms will require an investment, but if you intend to drive meaningful volumes of subscriptions as part of your business model, the sooner you make the investment, the better it will be for you. The good thing about self-service is that SaaS clients overwhelmingly prefer it, in the same way that marketing SaaS solutions is becoming self-service. Consumers of SaaS are much more self-sufficient throughout the entire business cycle. In fact, according to Gartner, by 2020, which is only 5 years from now, 85% of SaaS customers will want the entire support process to be automated with no contact at all with a human being. There are a number of self-service platforms that you can use, and I will go through them in increasing levels of sophistication. FAQs, or frequently asked questions, have been a standard part of software support for a long time. It is simply a collection of questions and answers that have been documented in the past. They would be stored in an online repository, and if there are enough of them, they would be segmented into different categories. Some people have asked me how this differs from a knowledge base. A knowledge base is more comprehensive, collecting more than just questions and answers from a wide range of constituents that can include internal staff, customers, and partners. The search capability is also more sophisticated than an FAQ, and the documents can include both public and private documents, documents that require login and authentication to access, whereas an FAQ is all publicly available. A good knowledge-based platform will also have the ability to create user groups, tagging documents that are relevant to each. The next level up in automation involves setting up customer forums and communities. We've also been asked if there is a difference between customer forums and customer communities, and this discussion parallels that of FAQs and knowledge bases. There is an order of magnitude difference in sophistication. But first, let's look at the similarities between the two. Both options are great for generating peer-to-peer support activity. Offering social support through customer forums lowers customer service and support costs while creating a positive customer experience. Since discussion boards or forums have been around in various forms online for quite some time, they offer a framework that customers or members recognize, know how to use, and can easily understand. Both forums and online communities options facilitate the number one thing members want to do in professional networks: have discussions and network with their peers. So there are some real similarities between the two in terms of their basic objectives and structure. Then what sets them apart and what makes communities a more scalable and effective support platform? Communities have been around a long time and are very widely used in open source. That business model depends on large communities that are willing to share information and help their fellow members resolve problems without any form of direct compensation. There are a number of key components. The first three, which I have grouped together, are forums, content, and a knowledge base. So you can see that having those components already in place provides a great platform. It is the additional functionality that makes communities so powerful. In addition to having forums, content, and a knowledge base, Online community platforms also have a built-in email listserv, so customers or members can participate in forum discussions through their email inboxes, not just online, which is the case with forums. I have already talked about the importance of building analytics into your solution. Online community software allows you to get a better idea of how and in what capacity your customers or members are participating, for example, tracking the level of interaction. Community analytics also help you learn about your customers' likes and dislikes regarding your company and products for better decision-making on product development, as well as your ongoing customer communications. Finally, online communities tend to have tighter integration with CRM systems or association management software, which allows you to push or pull data from the two systems and create a better experience for your customers. Customer communities are the single most utilized form of customer support. If you can get it to work properly, it will be a great source of ideas for your product development and an excellent platform for articulating your value proposition and improving your customer support. With the right platform, it is completely scalable, so there will be no limitations as you grow your client and partner ecosystem. In fact, the larger it grows, the more effective it becomes. Communities are the best way to keep support costs down. When you have a community that feels some level of loyalty to you and the rest of the community, it is amazing how much free support they will provide for each other. At the end of the day, a customer community drives down your support costs while improving customer satisfaction and retention. And there are more than 100 online community platforms to choose from, including open source and freeware products that cost nothing to use, all the way to more sophisticated proprietary systems that can cost $1,000 to $2,000 per month. The real cost to you isn't the platform. Even the more sophisticated solutions are a bargain when you look at the benefits. The hidden costs are associated with making them work. It isn't just a matter of launching a platform. First, you will want to have a community manager responsible for a number of roles. They should be creating an environment that encourages participation. They should be monitoring the site for appropriate use. Without monitoring, it is too easy for someone to hijack the site with their own agenda, which is the fastest and most certain way to kill a community. They should also be answering questions and reviewing answers provided by others to make sure they are relevant and correct. The community manager can be one of your employees, a shared responsibility, or it could involve trusted members of the community who have become designated as MVPs. The community needs to be marketed so that your clients, users, and partners know it is there. Without a high level of activity, the community withers and dies. Attracting super users and subject matter experts is essential because this is what brings people to the community. If they don't have a high level of confidence that their questions will be answered, why should they bother? In this final section, I will talk about human support. While the holy grail is 100% automation, it is not going to be practical for every company and every solution. As we have seen, many of the automation tools work only if there's a lot of activity. And some products are too complex to have issues resolved without the help of live technical support. In increasing levels of cost, the main forms of live support are social media, email, real-time chat, and telephone support. Some of you might be wondering why I have included social media as support requiring human interaction while communities are automated. Communities can be set up to perform their function with a minimum of involvement from your own employees, while the use of social media is normally assigned to someone internally. Social media should be monitored on a regular basis, and from a business perspective, the pecking order is Twitter, LinkedIn, and Facebook. Twitter in particular has become a popular place for people to complain about a product or a service, and you need to monitor any hashtags that could involve your solution to pick up on any potential discontent as soon as possible. Email support is the next level up. This is what most companies start with because it can be assigned to an existing resource, such as a tech support person or a sales engineer. It has a benefit that users don't expect an immediate response time. In fact, the auto response for most email support systems indicates the user will get a response within 24 or 48 hours. The risk is that no one follows up. So you should, one, make it part of someone's job description to answer the emails, and two, have an internal tracking system. Another benefit of email is that it allows templated responses. Many systems require a description of the problem and keywords trigger relevant responses, such as links to an FAQ or a knowledge base. The next level up in the support food chain is real-time chat, which is growing quickly as a preferred form of support. According to the Association of Support Professionals, roughly one-third of companies use it. They found the significant factors for deciding to implement chat support were deflecting or eliminating telephone and email support cases, a higher level of customer satisfaction because they're getting a more immediate response to their issue, and lower cost per case. And I will give you some specifics on this in the next slide. No need to worry about foreign accents and the potential for misunderstandings or frustrations. It is more personalized than other forms of web-based support. Each session generates a transcript which helps document disputes or trigger follow-up actions. And here are some numbers and guidelines you might find useful. Live chat isn't ideal for complex support issues. It just isn't practical to describe or resolve some issues in a chat window. Live chat programs are relatively inexpensive, with typical pricing in the $20 to $40 per user per month range. At volume, an efficient support person can handle up to 3 simultaneous chats. So, while the response is more immediate than email, there can still be short delays as the support person goes back and forth between chat windows. And finally, most live chat programs aren't optimized for mobile. And last, we will take a look at the pros and cons of using trained telephone tech support personnel. This is the highest touch personal support for clients, next to going on site. Remote desktop sharing can be used to diagnose and potentially fix problems in real time. And it provides a tech support person with more information that can guide the decision to escalate or not if the problem can't be fixed over the phone. The main disadvantage is that it is time-consuming, labor-intensive, and as a result, expensive. It can be inefficient for you if you have dedicated staff sitting idle, waiting for calls. It can be awkward to provide links to other resources without a chat window. There is often a perception that outsourced call centers in exotic locations sometimes result in misunderstandings due to accents or poor quality phone lines. And in order to avoid problem number 2 that I outlined, inefficiency, calls tend to get backed up, sometimes with wait times that create customer dissatisfaction. That brings this webinar to a close. Customer support plays a fundamental role in increasing customer retention, and customer retention is key to profitability with a subscription model. While the overall objective of support is customer satisfaction, whether the product is delivered on-premise or in the cloud, supporting SaaS solutions tends to be a much more automated process due to the deferred cash collections and the changes in client behavior. SaaS clients are more self-sufficient, whether that is in the buying cycle or the support cycle. And there are some solutions and markets where human involvement is still necessary. The objective for the SaaS industry is to reach 100% support automation, but in the meantime, and that could be a very long meantime, many companies will still need to pick up the phone to help their clients. Thank you for taking the time to view this webinar. As mentioned during the introduction, it is part of a series of webinars that Microsoft has put together to help you be successful with your cloud solution. So I would encourage you to view other webinars that cover topics that are relevant to you. You should also feel free to contact me if there are any questions or issues that I can help you with.